The thoughts and title for this Vesper service for our brother Bob is Seek Ye First, Songs Embedded in the Service. Now we now turn the podium over to Brother Bob Goodman.
Oh.
Well, we thank you, brother, and we trust everyone had a good meal. I hope I did. Food has been excellent. The spiritual food has been even better. So we have no complaints there. You know, when I got the invitation to serve at Albuquerque, one of the things that came was they wanted me to do a discourse festival. And if you don't know what that means you're going to do half the work. I'm going to talk a little, and we're all going to sing a little. In fact, we're going to sing quite a bit. And our thoughts this evening are entitled Seek Ye First. This comes from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And it's an admonition from our Lord. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When I read that scripture, that's really a really good directive from our Lord to what we should be doing with our lives. And it makes me think about priorities. You know, in today's world, if you're still in the working force, they have a thing called priorities. That's the three top things that they want you to be doing at the same time. But in our Christian walk, we have priorities. And so we're going to look this evening at priorities and see what the scriptures have to say. They give us some insight, certainly. And then also sing some songs that nicely harmonize with those. And I'll tell you that one of the nice things about an assignment like this is this gives me an opportunity to use a lot of photos that I've taken as I've been very fortunate to go out and hike in the wilderness and so forth. So many of the photos are... Many of the photos that you'll see are things that we've had an opportunity to experience for ourselves. Part of the beauty of nature. And of course, we all appreciate God and we see beautiful things. Seek ye first. When we say this, we're talking about priorities. And when we talk about priorities, there's some basic principles we want to explore. What is of importance? What is the importance of first? Seek ye first. What's the importance of that in that scripture? Number two, we wanted to look at what do we do first? And during that portion, I'm going to ask you to look at self. This is always a tough thing. Sometimes our spouses can help us along these lines because, you know, spouse is someone who can criticize us safely, or at least we should be able to. And so we might ask, well, what are our priorities? Because sometimes we're a little bit blind to what we're actually doing. And third is, why do we do things first? Why do we do things first? You know, at work, at times I've taught a course on time management. And the question that always comes up is, how do you spend your time? And I will ask people that, and usually my response is, oh, really? And what you do in a time management course, because we really don't know how we spend our time unless we record it, typically what we do, we'll ask someone every 15 minutes, record what you've been doing for the last 15 minutes. And then you find out at work what you've actually been doing versus what you think you've been doing. This is very useful at work. It's very useful for us personally as well, because sometimes time just slips away. And we all have activities in our lives that we lose track of time in. I'm a runner, and they call that getting in the zone. That's when you lose track of time and you're just going. But we want to look at how do we spend our time. And another thing we want to do is look at how we spend our money. And you might say, well, how does this have to do with time and seeking you first? Well, really, time is money in today's world, but how we use our funds is also very important. And I've noticed something. In my years of experience, is that people can afford to do the things that they really want to do. I don't know notice that? The things that they really want to do. So if you really want to see your family, even if you have limited funds, you're going to find a way to get there. Maybe you have to borrow a ride or to take the train or a bus or something, but you will get there if at all possible. And so what we've noticed is people spend money on their priorities, and that's why it's valuable to us. You know, we're a culture with really an abundance of money, even though we think we're all very limited. If you ever travel to worldwide, to third world countries, you realize, yeah, we have an abundance of money. The poorest person here is much richer than the average man in those countries. And so we're going to look at also and question, how do you spend your money? That'll help you understand what your priorities are as well. And then a real simple thing we need to ask each of ourselves is, what do you enjoy doing most? We'll get into why that's important. What do you enjoy doing most? Is it, we all are Bible students, so we probably all like reading the Bible and the volumes and studying and so forth and attending meetings, but you like to garden also. I enjoy running. Many of us have different hobbies, so what do we enjoy doing most? And that also gives us insights into how we spend our time. The first song we're going to sing is Divine Wisdom. We're going to need a pianist who's going to be almost a full-time appliance.
You're looking right at me, Mother Bob.
And the words will be on the screen.
All the verses?
Yes, all the verses. So I go to data-based seminars, and one of the promises of big data is we're going to get wisdom out of our data. And I'm always perplexed whenever I hear this, because we get information from our data, but we can't get wisdom from it. Wisdom is something that has to be personally applied. And as we realize, wisdom comes from above. Wisdom requires life experience. All the experiences of our lives, and we realize that each of us has been given a custom lesson plan of experiences that are exactly exactly what we need. Let's think about the things that are pulling on us at all times. We have a need for security, status, wealth, career, charity, good living, politics, knowledge, justice, power, peace, fame, position, duty. All of these things can be pulling on us at any one moment. In fact, this is what happens to basically everybody in the world. And we're highly affected by our culture. But if we don't go beyond these things, we're not really fulfilling our consecration vows, because true wisdom is understanding and then doing God's will. And so despite all these things that surround us, and we're in the world, but we're not of the world, we have to deal with bills and jobs and crisis and family and neighbors. But our focal point should be, despite all these things, God's will. When we talk about life's priorities, you know, there's a number of things we can do. If you talk to any individual, there's certain things that are really important in their lives. So we're going to look at a few of those. We just happen to have some eggs here. We're going to close here. So if we said, what are the major categories of life priorities that you have? And of course, one of them that's important to most everybody is family. So we're going to take one of our eggs, and it's going to be family. So we've got a family egg. And this container is our lives, by the way. So one of the things that we teach in time management is that everybody's got the same amount of time. You can't buy time, all you can do is spend it. So to spend it as efficiently as you can, you've got to set your priorities and focus on your goals. So we put family in our container here, and this represents our life. And you'll notice it's a finite size, so there's only so many things that we can do. Another thing we might be as a priority would be education. And that's not a bad thing. It's, if you want a good job, to be able to live a good life, you probably need an education. So we'll put education in there. And of course, as we know now, even in the workforce, they say you're a lifelong learner. And you know, Bible students really exemplify that, because whether we're 22 or 80, we have studies and so forth. So we'll put education in there. That's another goal. Our box still has a bit of room in it. Next we look at, we got to make a living, or at least most of us do, so we got to have a job, some way to make money. So we put a job in there. We got life priorities. We do that. And then we say, well, what else? Well, we would like to have a place to live, so that might take some resources and time. And if you own a home, you know the expression, house broke. So that takes time, responsibilities, things break, we fix them. Sort of out of resource there. And then finally, one of the things that we find in our world is people want to be entertained. And this is not necessarily a bad thing. It's always been the case, we're in the entertainment age. So we'll say, well, that's, there's good and bad entertainment. We'll put entertainment in there. Now, we still got a little bit of room in our life priority box. So we have our eggs here, and so, well, you know, I could probably have a couple more priorities, but as any of us know, if you talk to any individual, they probably have a couple of things that they focus in on in their lives, certain things that are very important to them. So we're going to say these are good and needful things. And then what also happens to fill up the rest is the cares of life. And the cares of life are kind of like rocks. Whatever time's available, the cares of life tend to take that up. So we just happen to have rocks here. So we take our eggs, and now we're going to put the cares of life in there. So, wiggle it around. We cares of life. Here's our life.
It's rather neat thing. You notice that whatever our major priorities are, there's always things to fill up the other time.
Okay, so now we have a complete life represented here. We all have to look at what our priorities are. Our next song is going to be My Goal Is Christ. And make sure you sing up, because you know we're being listened to on the internet, so we want the sweet savor to go out over the internet. Consecration enters in and our life's full. There's no room. What do we have to do?
Take something.
We have to take something out. So what is it? Can we flex on our education, our home aspirations, our job, our family, entertainment? We have to make changes so that we can once again fit our priorities in. This is really part of our consecration vow. We vow our all unto the Lord. The Lord is so gracious, He gives it back to us our families, our homes, our money, our knowledge and education. He says, be stewards of it. What are you going to do with it? So this is a question all of us have to ponder. So when we consecrate, that's another major thing. We can't get around that. So we do consecrate. Ooh, that's a wedding. So we write consecration. Now we got this egg. Something's got to give. Any suggestions on which one to pull out?
Cares of this life.
Stones.
How about the cares of this life?
Yeah.
The rocks.
Okay, it says pour out the rocks. So we put all those things back in. But the rocks are going to fill in the space, and we all have a certain amount of rocks in our lives, so it's not going to work.
Entertainment.
Let's pull entertainment out. And, you know, one of the reasons I put entertainment in is because it's become an obsession now. It said in education that you have to entertain students now rather than teach them. You look at the TV, we have hundreds of channels of cable, many, many channels of sports, movies, you know. We're constantly being entertained from our telephones to our tablets to our computers to our televisions to the elevator in the lobby. So we're going to take this one, we're going to place it outside. Now, a little shaking. We are now balanced again. You know, the wonderful thing about the Lord is He does make us stewards over everything that we're given. It's a wonderful test because it's like, you've got it all. How are you going to use it? Think about that. You say, well, you know, I don't have a lot of money, but maybe you get a lot of talent in another area. How are you using it? Maybe you have a house where you can entertain your brother. Use it. Maybe you're especially compassionate individual that's had a lot of tough life experiences that you can relate to other people and you can comfort them. Use it. Whatever we have to use. When we look at Matthew 13, 44, we're really getting into, you know, what's the priority of our consecration? In this parable, we read, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found hid. And for the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Do you remember when you consecrated, or if you're considering consecrating? When you consecrated, all your focus was on the Lord, and the Lord gave it back to you. But it has to be the most important thing in our lives. We need to maintain that focus. That's what that vow, even unto death, is all about. You know, we have another parable of a very similar concept, the parable of the pearl of great price. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. When he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Now you'll notice in this case, he was looking for beautiful pearls. So it's like going to the store and seeing a vast array of pearls. He was interested in pearls, plural. And I often think of this parable as like one that's out there looking for the truth. And they go amongst this denomination, that denomination, this group, that group. And when they find the truth, it's got them. They know. And they totally immerse themselves. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, we're told, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. This is the Lord's assurance to each and every one of us. Kind of indelicate to ask this right after supper, but how's your hunger? Well, we've been fed temporally in a very good way, but We should be hungering and thirsting constantly, and the Lord assures us that we will be filled. But only if we're seeking Him. You know, the Lord doesn't coerce us. He doesn't bend anybody's arm. When I read the Gospels, I never found anybody that put their arm behind their back and said, "You will do this." That's what we have to do with our children. Within consecration, we come to the Lord and offer our all. And when He accepts our consecration, that's what He expects. He's a loving Heavenly Father, but He expects our priorities and our lives to change. When I think about the Beatitudes, it's all about what we must become. The transformation process that must occur in each and every one of us. And we can't say, "Well, that's just my way." Because what we need to say is, "I need to do the Lord's way, not mine." And so we expect to see a transformation of character in each and every footstep follower. All different speeds, different rates, different levels. That's okay. That's what's expected. In Matthew 7:7-8, we read, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." This is talking about spiritual things. It's part of that seeking ye first the kingdom of heaven. And then all the other things will be added unto you. Some scriptures we're all very familiar with that really should enliven us and energize us every single day. So, which is first? There are all those things that are urgent in our lives. Those are the rocks. And then there are the priorities. What's first? Well, in a realistic sense, urgent things sometimes have to take precedence. But as we learn in time management, if all you do is urgent things, you never get anything done. You're always reacting. And so that's a very important thing. So we've seen here, if part of our priorities are first, the urgent things will fill in. They're going to take time. They're going to distract us for a time. But we can still maintain our priorities. Let's see how it works if we change the order. So remember we said we had these urgent things. If they're always taking priority, and then these eggs here, education, family, consecration, home, and job, they come second. What happens?
There's some slight gun in the way.
Yeah. Our priorities never get done. They're broken on the stormy shores of the ocean because those things always take precedence. And what happens if other things come in and take precedence? You can't do those either. Brethren, it's important that we always make sure that our priorities take precedence. Yes, the urgent things are going to come in and interrupt us, and we're going to have to deal with some of them. We need to do those things which are meaningful in the long term, or we'll never get them done. So, what is the importance of being first? Well, the things that are first get done, and the other things tend to get pushed back. What do we do first? We tend to do urgent or important things. That's the default. But You can't let that take precedence. Now, if this was a time management course, I would tell you you need to allocate time to the urgent things, and then you need to allocate a block of an hour or two to the important things. And that's the way you make progress on the agenda. For us, job one is our consecration. And so in the same way, we have to do the important things as well. And why do we do things first? Because they're the most important to us. And this is a telling thing. So if we find out that we're constantly being entertained, and we just never get around to Bible study, we've got to look at what our priorities are. It's very telling. If we look at how we spend our money, we never can get enough money to go to convention, but I was able to buy a quad so I can go out and ride in the backyard. I've got to ask what my priorities are. And brother, when you look at the spreadsheet, it can be very telling. But that's a good thing, because we have to constantly evaluate and adjust and improve. It's a continuous improvement cycle. And what happens when we always do the urgent first? We will fail. Period. If we always do urgent things first, because the urgent things in this life will overwhelm us. And so we have to set aside times, whether it's early in the morning, late in the evening, during a lunch break, to do the things that are important. Let's go ahead and we're going to sing hymn number 224, All of These. Thank you.
only a few of us flew. Some of us drove, some of us lived local. Maybe someone took the train or the bus. We all came from different areas of the country. In fact, if we look on the internet, we probably have different areas of the world. And this is much like our goal in consecration. We all get there a little different way. And the Lord gives us a lot of latitude in the directions that we take. And he says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about that's our first priority. So what we want to do along the way, because we do come to different paths, is to, as it says in Hebrews 12:13, make straight the paths of your feet. Now, the Lord is wonderful to us because he gives us the experiences we need to grow and to develop. I know, I think it was Brother Todd Alexander expressed a thought one time I really liked. He said, you know, if the Lord gives us trials and experiences, and he allows us to learn from them. And he's so generous that if we don't learn the first time, he tends to give us the same experience another time. And if we don't learn the second time, he tends to give it to us the third time. So, brethren, if you find yourself in trials and tribulations that are repeating themselves over and over and over again, it's an indication. Maybe we want to look at what's happening and what we need to change about ourselves. With all the choices that we have, we can take the straightest path or we can wander a bit. We all get to the same destination. What does it say? There's a crown laid up for me in reservation if you make it. I love that expression. The Lord's really saying, there's one reserved. And unlike the airliner where you get bumped because they miscalculated, the Heavenly Father knows the end from the beginning, and therefore there will be exactly the right number at exactly the right time, and there will be the exact individuals that have consecrated and are worthy of the divine nature. And then his plan will move to the next stage. That's a wonderful. But we make choices along the way. How straight are the paths of our feet? Once again, this is something we all have to ask ourselves. What's number one in our lives? Next, we're going to sing, All the Way My Savior Leads Me.
Thank you.
if our feet are on straight paths, they're being led by the Heavenly Father, just as our song expressed. In Romans 4:17, we read, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Joy in the wonderful power of God. During our study today, we talked about the resurrection. We scraped around a little bit about the times of restitution. What a joyous time that will be when earth's night of darkness and sin and death will be covered. When mankind will know the Lord from the least unto the greatest. We should not confuse wealth at this time, and we're all wealthy, by the way, with righteousness, peace, and joy in the power of God. This should be our focus. In John 6:27, we read, "Do not labor for the food which perisheth, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on you." This is that food from heaven, that beautiful ransom that was paid on behalf of the church at this time, the world of mankind, and the millennial kingdom. What a glorious hope that is. What a wonderful assurance that is. That's the glorious gospel of the kingdom. That's a song that only the saints can sing at this time, because we are privileged to see this. And so let us partake of that spiritual food that the Lord has offered us. What will be the legacy of your life? If you have a funeral or a wake, what will be the legacy of your life? Life is all about sowing and reaping. And so we can go back and look at life's bank accounts. What did we sow and what did we reap? What was our character? Because that's really what's important to the Heavenly Father. We look at the spiritual fruitage, and we all know about the fruits of the Spirit. Very beautiful. And it's a work of a lifetime. And during that work, we go from a diamond in the rough to a gem of deep glory. That chiseling and polishing is a tough thing. Sometimes we chisel and polish each other. But that's permitted by the Lord. That's part of the test of the separating and the wheat and tares, and also the chiseling process that makes us a thing of glorious beauty. So when we're in our worst trials, think and thank the Lord and ask, "What would you have me to do?" Because if we're meek and teachable, we will learn the lessons and go on to even greater glory. There's a little poem that I first heard from Brother Emil Persian, but I think it's actually in some of the reprints, that is very apt along these lines. And it deals right with our subject of what do we want first, seek ye first. It goes like this: sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. The things that we do have a direct influence on our lives. It's ever so important that if we have impure thoughts, and we all do, that we cast those out. Because thoughts reap actions, and actions reap habits, and habits reap characters, and ultimately they determine our destiny. One of the beautiful things about having a watch night service every year is to reflect back on the year past, both the accomplishments and the things we didn't do so well. And then to look forward, because the Lord doesn't want us to soar over the things in the past, but he wants us to transform ourselves and to look at what we need to do moving forward. And that's right in line with this continually evaluating ourselves and changing ourselves. Notice that I didn't say evaluating and changing our brother. There's a saying, work on self first, others later. We really never get to working on others because there's so much to do. There's a country song, I sometimes listen to country music, and it's got a lyric that says, just be patient. I'm a work in process, in progress. And all of us are works in progress. We're all at different points in our walk. Be patient and understanding and loving with one another. Encourage and nurture one another and build each other up. You know, our ecclesia should be really a refuge, like a spa, a place to go and relax and to really bask in the truth and to seek support and comfort and help. It should not be a place of criticism and fault finding and divisions, which is the opposite. And we have to ask ourselves personally, what am I doing to make our ecclesia experience rich and fulfilling, so that people will want to come? If we're not doing that, we're not feeding the lambs, we're not feeding the sheep, we're not feeding the sheep. And you might say, well, he was talking to the elders. That is absolutely incorrect. He was talking to each consecrated heart. Because each of you has the ability to comfort, to nurture, to upbuild, and to help one another. That's why he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. It's not an option. It's a requirement, and it should be a joy to look forward to those meetings, because it should be fulfilling and upbuilding. And yes, it may challenge you intellectually, and you may not agree every time with what's been said. But at the end, you should be able to say, it's been good to be with Jesus. We're going to go ahead and sing Great Is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
The Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:13-15 wrote, "Brethren, I count not myself to be apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded." This was the Apostle Paul's admonition. This was our Lord's admonition. Let us put on that perfect mind of Christ. That's the word that we have to develop. And if you think about it, when you do that, that's going to flow through to your family, to your home, to your job, to all of your priorities. It's going to be evident that you have been with Jesus. This is what seeking you first is all about. The one thing that we do. So everyone hold your finger up. What's the one thing?
Seeking you.
You have to answer this to yourself and personally as well. And so as we look to the scriptures for guidance and direction, the question I have to ask myself, what do I seek first? This is a question for each one of us. Reflect, evaluate, and press towards the mark of the prize. This is the will of God concerning you, that you be sanctified, you be made holy, you be made in the image of the Son. And if you do, you'll receive an invitation to come up higher. Let us close with a fitting song. To God be the glory.
Thank you.
This is our desire.
That in seeking first, it all might be to the glory of God. Amen.